This is the Fitness Tech Podcast, show number 39, recorded the last day of July, July 31st, 2011. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting from the Average Guy Studios here in sunny, hot, sweltering Bellevue, Nebraska. And we post this podcast each week to theaverageguy.tv. You can contact the show. Just send me an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv, or follow us on Facebook. Just search for The Average Guy Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jay Collison. We're doing it a little different. The Fitness Tech Podcast has moved away from the studios, and we're now all Skype all the time. And I have Jamie Eichmeier with me this evening. Jamie, how are you doing?
Great. How are you doing, Jim?
I am doing well. This is different for us.
We're
typically in the studio sitting about 3 feet from each other. And you've moved on, we talked a little bit in the last podcast about you moving home. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight and kind of some of the challenges that you've had. But now that you've moved home, we kind of had to set a new schedule and figure out new ways to do podcasting. And so you're home, you got a headset, you're on your laptop, and we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, it's working pretty well, smoother than I thought.
Yeah. We'd said 9 o'clock, and you actually caught up to me a little bit early. I thought for sure we would have hardware problems getting you to get that set up, and actually it was my side that had a few little sound problems to get going tonight. But you're up and running. It's great. Great to see you.
Yeah. This is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. It allow us, we have been running on the weekends, but it's a little hard to do a podcast when you're out there running.
Yes.
Like we've been doing. So it's good to get on this. So this is what I do, Jamie. All the other podcasts work this way. You're the only one for the most part. I guess Andrew on the Financial Tech podcast that we do. He and I meet in the studio about every three or four weeks. And in fact, we have one coming up next Tuesday. So there'll be a new Financial Tech podcast coming out. He's just such a stud. He's a good guy.
He is. What's that one about?
That's all finance. So the financial markets and technology. And he comes with, he's a certified financial planner now. So he comes just with all kinds of smart stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. He's great.
He is. He's a good guy. And then Home Tech, we do Thursday nights. We do that one actually live. And maybe sometime when we get big enough or good enough or whatever, we could do this one live.
That's true.
Wouldn't it? So
talk to callers.
Yeah, that's right. They could put stuff in chat. So we're live. We're not really live. You and I are live, but we're on,
we're
on Skype. And we're pulling this off kind of the old fashioned way. Jamie, you and I have since your departure. First, I want to talk about our fitness because we've kind of found a new fitness routine. We used to run during the week, and now we're kind of reduced to weekends.
Yeah, so far I thought I'd be able to keep my weekly runs, but that hasn't worked out so far. But at least we can run together on the weekends and still get our long runs in. And on Saturday we did some interval training, so that was great. But it really helps having someone there meeting you to hold you accountable. Otherwise, I'm like, I'll just sleep in or I'll do it later. Later never happens.
It's even hard for the trainer, right? I mean, you're a trainer, and I think some people think that you just automatically get it done.
Have the pass where I don't have any barriers, and I'm just human like everyone else.
Yeah. So since getting home, that's been a tough transition for you in some ways. What have you learned? I mean, you've been home 2 weeks now.
2 weeks.
What's worked well? What hasn't worked well from your fitness patterns?
So far, it's starting to work. I was able to make it on Friday. I'm like, okay, so starting tomorrow, I'm going to start the week out right. And I set my alarm for 6:30. And on Friday, I slept in probably until about 7. But then I'm like, well, I still have a good half hour. I could still get in at least 2 miles. So I quick change a little bit and got 2 miles in. And I felt so much better because before I was so tired. I'm like, oh, I'm just dragging. And I'm like, well, why would this be? Why am I so tired? It's because I wasn't getting my workouts in. And that makes a huge difference for my energy levels. So I'm like, okay, I need this for myself. And it's just like a mental clearing, exercise for me and helps me sleep better. And then I'm not so cranky. So I'm like, I just have to get this in. I have to do it. And it's my only time I'm by myself with no one around me. So it's just like a good, de-stressing moment in me time. Everyone needs their own personal me time. So getting that alarm at 6:30, that's key. Now, and then I need to start getting in my strength training workouts. I have been putting the kids on my back for push-ups and then holding them for lunges, and that's been working well.
What do they do? How do they respond to that? Are they okay with that?
They're laughing the whole time.
They think that's okay. Funny.
And then they think I'm going to give them like horse rides or something. I'm like, oh, no. It's just for push-ups.
Just for push-ups, yeah.
On the couch, and they'll go on my legs for a horse ride, and it gets good quad work in. So I'm like, wow, this is just like the leg extension machine. Yeah.
So when you were, you're a full-time trainer, you've been a trainer for a while now, last 4 or 5 years?
Eight years.
And you coached ladies, right? Yeah. Who were both.
And some men too.
And guys, but I mean. Yeah. Now in, I'm sure that you had some folks who were in your scenario, right? Where they were working and then they went home. Yes. And do you have a little bit of a different perspective maybe now that you've been home for 2 weeks full time on how difficult it might be to really.
I have more empathy now for people's excuses. 'Cause I'm like, yeah, these are, real challenges that everyone has. Before I'm like, oh, you can work past that. You can schedule it into your day. But yeah, you say that, but actually doing it is the key. And that's, everything has to fall in perfectly, basically, for that to happen, or you just have to force yourself. And then at that point, if you're forcing yourself, you don't like to do it. Mm-hmm. So just making it a habit so you start liking it and enjoy it for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I told you a couple weeks ago when you're first going home is I said, give yourself 4 to 8 weeks to kind of figure out some patterns.
Yes.
So we're probably still a little early in the mix. You're still trying to figure things out. We seem to have the weekends down, and those seem to be working well. We're getting, somewhere between 12 and 13 miles in on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But where typically you had massive accountability at Gallup because
oh my gosh,
in all the time, and you were working out with people and you were working people out.
Exactly. And I was teaching classes, and I'm like, wow, I have the best definition I've had in a long time. And now I'm like, oh, it's going away and I need to get that back. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start P90X. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to start with P90X. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I'll do the videos on TV. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do videos on TV. And then I'm like, I should just do the workouts I made at work because I taught the classes. I know what they are. So I think I'm going to go with that because it worked well for me. And sometimes on TV, I'm like, no, I don't like how they're focusing too much on one body part. I like it more equalized, and I just like doing my own thing. So starting tomorrow.
Oh, good. Well,
and then when we podcast next, then I can report on that.
Yeah. Well, it's a transition time, and I think folks need to give themselves some time to transition into a new routine because it's really hard. It's kind of hard to find. And I'll be honest, I've struggled to make these weekend runs work, and we've got two or three under our belt, and I'm starting to get in a groove with them now, and my weekly workouts are changing to kind of maximize the weekend, where it used to be the weekly workouts were the
Me
most
too.
Important, and then I was de-emphasizing the weekends, so
yes.
it's kind of a different, just kind of a different way of looking at it. So
right, and you just have to be realistic with the workouts. Don't go, I was like, okay, I'm going to go gangbusters and do the full P90X. I'm like, no, I just need to ease into this so I don't overwhelm myself. Otherwise, I'm just going to quit.
It's easy
kinda
to
like,
do.
Yeah, kind of like New Year's resolutions,
Right. We've said that 100 million times on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Start easy. You know, and work your way into it. One of the things we did this weekend, and I was pleasantly surprised how well it worked. I've struggled in the heat. We're here in the Omaha area, and it's just been just blazing hot, right?
So humid. Like, your sweat won't even evaporate because it's so humid outside.
Yeah, so you're just hot. I've struggled with the endurance part of it, right? And so we've been changing up the workout some to get a little more speed in with some rest intervals in there. And
yes.
that's worked really well for us.
that has worked really well. And I figured out, I think I know why I was so hungry yesterday, because those intervals like kicked my metabolism into overdrive like instantly. And I'm like, I am so hungry. Whereas today I'm like, no, not that hungry. Not like yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, intervals. That's a major.
It was good. So we had about a 5.5 or 6 mile loop, and we ran the first half of it just jogging. And I was really struggling, and I said, let's stop, and we stopped. And then when we started running again, we took off really fast, and it felt really good. I was like,
it did.
This feels better than that jogging stuff. And that so was... we were running a tenth or 0.2 of a mile, sometimes maybe short, a little short of a quarter, and then we'd walk a tenth and then repeat. And we must have done that 5, 6, 7 times, you think?
I think so. Yeah. Well, at least for 1.5 miles, if not 2 miles.
Right.
Or more.
So it really did. It kind of really made that workout. It changed it in a lot of ways, where I was kind of dreading the end of it. And by the time we got to the end, I was like, this is really great.
I was kind of thinking we should have did that today.
Well, we kind of did, right? I mean, we just did long mile intervals. So on the last three, we would run 1 mile and then take a quick break and then run another mile. And it really did give the body an opportunity to cool down a little bit. It was pretty warm.
Exactly.
And, I'd encourage folks, you got to be really, really careful in this kind of weather. Everybody's experiencing some kind of heat. Make sure you're well hydrated, of course. And make sure you take breaks. You don't want to push it, right? You don't want to push that too hard.
No, not at all.
You know, have some kind of injury, some kind of heat-related injury. I think Thursday I pushed it really hard. Dave and I went out for a 4.5 miler, and I came in just face very warm. Ooh. I was kind of cold. You know, some of those, I was starting to get the shivers. You know, kind of heat exhaustion kind of thing was kicking in.
That's not good.
Listen to your body in these extreme, both extreme heat and extreme cold. Listen to your body. You know, I went on a run with you last winter that I wasn't dressed for appropriately, and I got overly cold, and that
you did.
That one hurt. So just be careful what you're doing out there. So,
and like, hydration makes all the difference. If you're well hydrated, then your body is more able to adapt and cool itself down. Whereas if you're dehydrated, it's going to struggle, and then it's harder to sweat too, because it's just pulling all those electrolytes out. So that's something to think about.
We have been sweating. That's for sure. So any other lessons that you've learned from being home for 2 weeks?
So I thought I'd dig out all these cool new healthy recipes and look into the Jillian Michaels cookbook, and I haven't opened that yet.
you always kind of overestimate, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm
not you in general. I mean, yes, you, but we tend to do that when we've, you know,
exactly.
It's a brand new situation, and you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to nail this thing, right?
Right. I think that's just like the human response, you know?
Right.
You have all this huge list to do, and I'm like, oh, I haven't touched much of that.
Yeah, and it's only been 2 weeks, right?
Only 2 weeks.
I think we underestimate, or we tend to overestimate what can be done in a month and underestimate what can be done in a year. So,
For sure.
It's you still got plenty of time.
Definitely. But I'm super happy about getting my runs in on the weekends. And then I got that shorter run in on Friday. And then starting this week, adding strength training in and more weekly runs. And then I have been cooking more at home. So that was my first goal. But my real goal is to dig new healthy recipes out. But I'll get there eventually. I'm like, one step at a time.
Yeah.
And then read more research. So I'm thinking, okay, the days that I accidentally sleep a little too long and I can't run outside, then I can read my research articles while I'm on the elliptical for a good cross training.
Oh, there you
workout.
Go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So I'm like, yeah, this is doable. I was just psyching myself out, thinking, oh, if I don't get in 3, 4 miles, then why should I even go out? It's not worth it. But I'm like, no, that's not the attitude. It is worth it. At least 2 miles is better than nothing.
Right.
That's like a bar I would have had.
Yeah. Well, it's tough, though. That is a tough transition if you've been working out a lot. And then all of a sudden you stop, there is a tendency to say, oh, I can't just do a 20-minute workout, when you really can, right? You can really get after it.
Sure.
For just 20, do it hard. Stairs. One of the workouts I did last week was just to grab a 20-pound kettlebell, and I just carried it up five flights of stairs five times. Took about 20 minutes to get that done. And by the time you're done, I was exhausted.
And oh. It's
a 20-minute workout.
That's right. And just adding that weight, you know, really increases the resistance of the workout and increases the calorie burn too. So that's a good change up.
But yeah.
I'm like, yeah, just changing things up and not going the full Monty. I'm like, that's okay if I do some. You know, I don't have to kill myself.
Right, right. And, you know, it's just, I don't know about you. I've struggled to work out at home, and I wonder who else does. You know, it's some people are really good at it, but I just cannot work out in my own house. So that means I got to go outside and do something, or I got to go to the gym and do something.
Yes.
And that's tripped me up in the past. Now that I work at Gallup and we have a fitness center, that really does help. But man, if I didn't have that, I do not like to work out in my house. I guess, you know, if folks are listening I'd love to hear from you if you struggle with that same thing, because I felt like I'm kind of weird in that way. My house is too constricting. I don't have a workout room, and not everybody has one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so,
right.
You know, let me know, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. I'd love to hear about how you're getting around it. That might be it's been a while since we've gotten a listener letter. So it would be good to hear from you guys. Let us know what you're doing and how you're getting around some of that. And maybe even tell us how you're getting through the summer heat. It's been hot just about everywhere. And it'd be great to know what folks are doing, what kind of creative workouts they're doing to get around the heat.
And let us know how you're fitting it. If you have a packed schedule, how do you fit it into your day? And what tricks do you have for others that may help everyone else?
Yeah, that'd be nice. And we'll read them right here and mention your name. Make sure you give us a real first name in there so that we can give you credit for that. But
that's right.
Yeah, so good. What else you got, Jamie?
Well, I found the perfect shoe guide for every runner. We have their stability shoes, and those shoes are for people who have mild to moderate overpronation. So that's stability. And then you have the neutral cushioned, which is the minimal support for runners with minimal pronation. So if you have just regular type arches, you'll want the neutral cushion. Whereas if you have flat arches, you'll want the stability. And then the performance training shoes are those that weigh around 10 ounces and they fit like a glove. And then you have your minimal support shoes, and they have more like the barefoot feel. And then, so Asics, Brooks, Mizuno's, New Balance, and Sauconys have shoes under each of these categories.
Now, where are you looking at this at?
Runner's World magazine.
Is that online, or is that the one that you got?
The one that I got.
Okay.
In the mail.
I'm sure that's online as well.
Yeah. It's a September 2011 edition.
Shoes are really kind of tricky, aren't they?
They really are. I mean, you definitely want to try them on and walk in them, see how they feel, even run a few laps, you know, if there's like a little, I don't know, track in your shoe store. Some shoe stores have that, some don't. But just see how it feels, because, I mean, they all feel so different. And I know from my experience, they told me to try like this Asics and then try a Mizuno and a Saucony, and they all felt so different, even though they were for the same purpose. They were a stability shoe, but they just seemed so different. And even like the weight of them for each brand was different. So you just want to try it out and see what feels best for you.
Yeah, I think you do need to go to a store where the people care. About about your feet to begin with.
And where they're knowledgeable about shoes, will make the huge difference.
Yeah, I have often said I'd rather pay a little bit more. I mean, shoes, especially for runners, are so important.
It
can make or break. I remember when I first started running 3 years ago again. So, you know, I ran back in the 90s when I was in the military. And when I got out, I swore I would never run again. I had run a lifetime of miles in the military under all kinds of crazy circumstances. And I remember I bought this pair of Nike. Now I thought, okay, I'm gonna go to Kohl's and I'm gonna get some Nikes, right? Because those
and they're cheap and they're stylish.
Yeah, and well, and that's, you know, I didn't know at the time that department store shoes are made just for looks, really, right? That's so it's a brand. It's to have a Nike shoe. It's not really made to run in. It's really meant to look good. And so I bought that pair of shoes, and I remember I went out and ran the bridge. And I came in and my feet were all blistered.
Oh.
And Wolf took a look at my shoes and he was like, you probably need to go get a new pair of shoes. And I'm like, well, I just bought these. It's like, yeah, no, that's not right. So, you know, he recommended this local place called Peak Performance here. We've talked about them before, but really do. They take their time. They walk you through. They should show you a couple pair of shoes. They should let you try them on, walk or run around the store. If they have a treadmill, all the better. I know our Bellevue store has a treadmill, and I put the shoes on and I run on the treadmill. This last pair of shoes, I didn't. I probably should have. I wish I had of now. I would have. They're a little loose in the heel for me. You know, they don't feel just right for me.
Oh, shoot. And you didn't try those on.
I didn't. There was a different model. It was a newer model.
No.
And I kind of took – it's like, well, model over model, this should be fine. I walked around in them. I thought I was kind of in a hurry. You know, never go to the grocery store hungry and never go to the shoe store in a hurry.
That is so true.
Yeah. And so now – that being said, I ran the last marathon in them. I haven't had any problems in them. They just don't feel – they feel like I'm sliding towards the inside of the shoe on them when I'm –
that's,
you know,
not good.
If I do anything but run straight forward, it feels like my heel's a little bit loose.
Ooh.
So those shoes, I'll have to replace them here in the next month or two anyway, and so they'll go away. I've been considering going to a pair of Asics just to see. Now
think you would like those.
They may not fit right. I know I've tried them before. I've tried some Nikes, and those don't fit right. Certainly these Sauconys that I run in, this is what I've bought from the very beginning. I did have a pair of Brooks for a training cycle. They were a half size too small in the end. They fit my foot at first.
No.
And then my foot got bigger. The shoe got small, or I don't know, but it was jamming my toes together, which causes blisters, right? You're laughing at me, aren't you?
Right. Well, did you buy the shoe half a size bigger
than the normal
shoe?
And
you did?
Fit when I was in the store and I tried it on, it fit.
That's weird.
It's just after I ran, I think I ran Papillion Half. This would have been last May, so a year ago May. After I ran Papillion Half, those shoes never fit right after that race.
Wow.
It's weird. They were great. They were light. They were comfortable, but my little toe or the three little toes would rub up against the end.
Really?
And it would feel, you know how it feels tight? Sometimes you get blisters under your toes because of that and stuff.
Yeah.
So take your time. I guess that's what I'm saying here. When you're getting your shoe, you're paying top dollar for them, take your time and make sure you are getting the shoe that you need.
Or it could be in the lightweight shoes, you'll just need a whole size bigger because maybe sometimes they, like the elastic shrinks or something.
Yeah. Jamie, have you ever run, have you ever put the elastic ties, what do they call these shoes? Shoe strings is what they call them.
No.
Have you ever used the elastic kind? So the triathletes use those.
Really?
They tie their shoes with these elastic bands, and then they can, you know, they can slip them on very, very quickly, right? Because they just expand out, and then they put their foot in it, and then it just goes right back to the and holds.
No
on.
Way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I'm going to have to get that because sometimes when we run, my shoe comes untied. Then you have to stop. You lose momentum.
Yeah.
You lose where you're at, and then
that's real common among triathletes, and so because they're usually in a hurry when they're changing their shoes, that might be something that you might want to try.
Where would you find something like that at?
I don't know. That's a good. I'll have to ask. You know, we had Dave Sievers on the podcast 2 weeks ago. That'd be a great question for him.
Does he have that?
Yeah, he was. That's where I'd heard. I've seen that as I've watched triathlons on Universal Sports. You know, I've watched them throw these shoes on, and I always just thought they were special shoes. Well, they're special shoes, but they also have special laces that that they use.
And wow.
Yeah, you know what's another good friend during the summer is that that Body Glide stuff, you know, as the,
yes.
the summer, lots of moisture, lots of opportunities for chafing. Jamie, do you think people are a little embarrassed by that?
I don't think so. I mean, well, it'd be easy to put that on. People won't know, and then you won't have blisters and feel horrible while you're yeah. running.
Well, and for guys, there's, you know, there is a right. particular part of us that
that's right.
that chafes really, really, really easy. You and I have talked about this because usually cheap shirts are what cause it, right? We wear
exactly
cotton. Or really cheap dry fit, and I swear they've got little tiny razor blades. Yes. and Body Glide takes care of that. You know, one of the things I didn't know, though, when I went to buy Body Glide or fill in the name of whatever it is, because I don't think that's the brand I use, but I got the bottle. I got the squirt bottle, right? So that you would you know, kind of and then apply it in areas that are going to get chafed from there. Right. Well, I saw somebody had a roll on or like a deodorant stick that had
really
yeah
the Body Glide.
Yeah. And so
that's genius.
That made it really easy to apply.
And then you don't have your hands all dirty and,
yeah, like,
you know, a mess.
Before the race.
Right.
And, you know, yeah. So that's the first I had seen of that. So there's a little tip.
And you want to make sure that you use like a Body Glide or something like that because it's antibacterial, whereas other glides aren't antibacterial.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
more likely to catch a rash from it or something. Yeah. So that's something to think about too. But your shoe stores and sports stores, they'll carry you.
Yeah, I think you can find all that
you
stuff
get
online.
That. And then, and I also, what have you been hydrating with for your runs? Do you prefer Gatorade or do you prefer another type of electrolyte drink or water? What works for you? Hydration.
That's the
yes.
question. Yeah, it's really important. You know, and I am terrible at hydration. I don't drink enough water. I should be drinking 8 to 12 glasses of water every day, and I don't.
Right?
I drink 8 to 12 cups of coffee.
Coffee dehydrates you. The caffeine acts as a diuretic. And actually, you may need more than 8 to 12 ounces because you want half of your body weight in ounces when you're drinking water. And then if you're working out, you want to add an extra 8 ounces per half hour that you're working out. So that's a lot of water.
I need to drink more water. I'd probably feel better if I did that.
Have you heard this? Okay, someone told me that there's this article about 8 glasses a day is a total myth and your body doesn't need that much. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, that is not right. I don't believe the article at all because so I don't know, subconsciously I must have been like listening to it because I wasn't drinking as much water last week and I noticed more wrinkles in my skin.
Really?
And I, yes,
wow.
Because it hydrates your skin and acts kind of like a moisturizer, you know, but and makes your skin more elastic. Water does. But then I was noticing I was eating more just because I was thirsty. And then the runs, like on the weekend when I was running with you, I'm like, I'm just, oh my gosh, I was so thirsty. I could not drink enough. So it was catching up to me. I'm like, see, this article, that's just a big myth.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to hydrate. If you're thirsty, it's too late. You need to be hydrating in some kind of way, especially if you're thirsty and you're running. It's too late, you know.
Way too late.
It's I always say just have a glass of water around you and be drinking yes. just as much as you can. Although on the flip side of that, I have done that some days where I have like a glass of water in my hand all afternoon, and I go into the afternoon workout just kind of, you know, bloated, just
waterlogged.
Yeah, so that's a real struggle because I don't want too much because it just sloshes
right.
around in your stomach.
Well, you can stop drinking half an hour beforehand. You know.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's just so many rules. I just say if I'm thirsty, I drink, and
yes.
if I'm hungry, I eat.
Yes.
And if you do that and you do it in moderation, the danger for me, we've talked about this before, the danger for me is these meals after 9 p.m.
Ooh, that's dangerous. Very
yeah.
dangerous.
Yeah.
Because So the latest you definitely want to eat is 8 p.m. I mean, try not to eat after that. But your body goes into this deep sleep mode from midnight to 4 p.m. If you eat after 8 o'clock p.m., your body is pulling its blood to digest the food that you ate that late. And then you're not able to get into that deep sleep starting at midnight till 4 a.m. And so you're going to be more tired the next day because you weren't able to hit that cycle.
Yeah. Well, and sleep is another thing that we don't probably get enough of.
Last night, I went to bed too late.
I know. I went to bed at midnight and got up at 5 and didn't sleep very well.
Me either. I had the same situation. I went to bed at 11 and got up at 4 or a little after 11, a little after 4. And this morning, like that first loop, I was just dragging. I'm like, oh, what is the deal? But then when we picked up the pace, just like how it was for you on Saturday, then I felt so much better. I was in the groove. I'm like, yeah. So, Jim, we're just going to have to run faster. It works better for
us. I think you're right. I'll be honest with you. I think the slower running has been hurting me.
And yes, I think so.
I think to get ready for Corporate Cup, which is the local 10K, 15,000 people in Omaha type thing, I think we just need to start stringing together longer, faster miles and then put two of those together and three of those together and five of those together and, you know, type thing. And we'll have to work on it. I am looking forward to some cooler weather.
Me too.
And I'm looking forward to that brisk fall morning when we're out there running.
Nice.
And it's about 45 or 50 degrees, and it's just, I mean that would be great. That's the best. So
that is, bugs are going away and the leaves are changing colors.
Yeah. After this summer, I am ready for some fall.
Jamie, how has your nutrition been?
Okay. Do you have anything else that you'd like to talk about?
Yes. I do have this great article.
I got out of it. It's been terrible.
Oh no. Well, maybe this will persuade you. So I've been reading the Wellness Report by Dr. Balock, and he is a medical doctor and nutritionist, and he has been been doing research on nutrition, and he was reading on how eating a lot of foods with MSG in it, monosodium glutamate, and additives, and a lot of sugar and sodium, they are just bad news for our brain, because our brain cannot process the chemicals quickly, like the glutamate and the dopamine, serotonin. So these processed foods will slow down the hormones that tell the brain, you know, to make us feel better, to lower our anxiety levels or lower our fear or lower our hate levels. And sometimes too much sugar will increase too much excitement in the brain. And so that causes, you know, that could cause hyperactivity and just too much anxiety. And so by decreasing your sugar levels and eating 5 to 10 servings of high nutrient vegetables per day, high nutrient as in your green vegetables and your orange vegetables and red vegetables, minus the white and the yellow, and then eating organically raised meats because they don't have additives in it, and whole grains and purified drinking water, then we are able to regulate our moods and lower our depression. So it was very interesting. So what we eat does play a role on the hormones that are sent to our brain and what our brain produces in our body and tells our body to do. And then it also decreases our addiction to foods. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, we could do a whole show about that. I mean, it's difficult to find today some of those some of those kinds of foods that you really need and the growing, you know, we're growing for the first time ever. I actually have a vegetable plant. So I have a tomato plant.
You do?
Growing on the deck, right? Usually I grow flowers, but you can't eat flowers.
Right.
And so a neighbor came over in the spring and said, "Hey, I have two extra, tomato plants."
Oh, nice.
And I said, well, I'll plant them. So I grew them. And we're getting, you know, they're the little, they're not quite cherry tomatoes, but they're the, you know, the dollar size
Medium sized little ones.
Yeah, and today I just pulled one off, washed it, and just ate it right there.
Oh, I love that.
It was so tasty. It was like, I got to do more of this. So Sarah was like, hey, I'm going to make bruschetta out of those. And so I was like, oh, well, shoot.
You just ate it in the healthiest form possible.
It was great, right off the vine. I mean, it was literally, I had picked it just a minute before. So,
delicious.
Yeah, that's always good. So, well, Jamie, we're coming to the end of our time. It always goes so fast. But you know what? We're on track. We figured out a way to be able to get this podcast in now. We were always dependent on lunchtime.
Exactly.
At Gallup and going to the studios, and now we can pull this off and we'll figure out more ways. You know, it'd be great to kind of hear from folks. With this being almost the 40th podcast, we'd like to get some feedback on what you like, what you don't like. Do we ramble on too much about stuff? What's called fitness.
Do you think we do, Jim?
Sometimes I do. I know. I don't know about you. You give some good content. I just kind of babble. One of the things I know what I've heard in the past is more technology, and so we need to work on that. That's probably an area we can improve on. Hmm. This morning we took off to run, and I realized I did not have a single piece of technology on me.
That is not like you, Jim.
I didn't have my watch. I didn't have anything. I didn't have my sunglasses. I was lucky I had a hat. I brought I brought a towel because it's been so hot.
Right.
But I literally, no phone, no, I left my keys in the car. I ran. I was just going to run. So,
luckily, I had my Garmin to keep us under control, although it's been taking a while for the satellites to collect. So I'm going to start it while I'm in the car. So that way, by the time we're ready to run, it's ready to go.
Hold your arm out the window.
Yeah.
I need to get I'm really interested. I've never liked those old Garmin 205, 305, 405s because it's like a brick house on your arm. You know, yeah. They're just a big, beefy, square-looking, ugly, right? And the new generation of Garmin watches actually look like watches.
They do.
And I'm not a jewelry guy. I wear a wedding ring, and that's about it. But if I had a Garmin watch that looked like that, I might, look like a watch, I might consider wearing that. So that's one of those things I think I'm going to add to my Christmas list. The big drawback is just the expense. They are so expensive. It's about $250.
Right.
About $250 retail. I think you could probably get them as cheap as $199 in some places. But So I don't know. Maybe I can get Garmin to send me a review unit for the podcast. I can review it.
There you go. Lucky for me, my birthday's in January, so I'm like, count it as Christmas and my birthday and Valentine's Day the month after.
Oh, man. That's like triple witching Friday for you.
It is, but I don't mind. I'm like, oh, I want it. Just count it for all of that. It's okay.
Well, I'm a little torn because I also want to get a nice podcasting microphone. I've been podcasting on a headset, and the microphone that I use is pretty good. It works. But I'd like to get, a nice, and those are about $100.
Okay.
So that blows the Christmas budget. It's a watch. It's kind of a watch in 2 years worth of Christmas presents.
This Christmas and next Christmas.
I know. Or maybe I gotta take a part-time job or something.
Or when's your birthday?
My birthday's not till May.
Oh, well.
Yeah, see, it's that kind of – it's May 26th, so it's
almost – Or your anniversary.
Almost, yeah, well, we don't do anniversary gifts.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So anyways, I'll have to figure out how to find a way to score. I saw those watches when I was at CES.
Cool.
They looked very, very cool. So, but I'm kind of gone. I thought, I'm the tech guy. And that's right. I thought I would use all kinds of tech, and I have – in my running and in my workouts, I'm really down to the lowest tech possible. It's kind of weird.
You simplified on me.
I know. Isn't that weird?
It is. I'm like, Jim, I don't hear Jane speaking to us. I don't see anything on your wrist.
I know.
What's going on?
I know. The other day I was running with Dave and Dan. And Jane spoke up. You know, Jane is the voice of my GPS on my phone.
Yes.
And Jane spoke up, and they both looked at me really funny. And ironically, it was the hottest day of the summer, and we were out running with a bunch of guys, you know, during lunch. And it said something like 0.0, you know, yeah, 0.0 miles for a zero pace. And the GPS had shut off, so I couldn't even – she was, like, taunting me the whole run with 0 miles.
You are getting nowhere. Pick it up.
Yeah. So I'm like, I was running. So right. Sometime technology can let you down. Well, Jamie, I'll let folks know we put out a plea for some feedback. And as yes. we make a transition with this podcast, folks can contact us, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. And I always forward those notes over to Jamie. And so that will help us get on track. Jamie, yes. now that you're home, you'll get an opportunity to do some more blogging. And,
that's right.
Build in some podcasting. So we look forward to that as well. Folks,
and,
go ahead.
Listeners, if you can write to us one thing that you're proud of that you did fitness-wise and nutrition-wise this week, that would be great. And so I went to Sam's Club. I want to switch to Costco, but my Sam's Club is almost up. But I bought blueberries, raspberries, cherries, and pineapple. So I'm super
wow.
proud of that.
Nice.
I'm like, you know what? We don't need to eat popcorn or crackers for a snack for the kids. We can just, you know, snack on all that fruit. And I made blueberry pancakes this morning after a run and nice. Omelets.
Wow. You didn't even invite me over.
I should have. I'm like,
no, I had to get to church. I raced home, showered, and raced over and made it just in time. And
were you still sweating in church?
I was. I was. It was hot. I got to wear shorts, though. Our church is very casual.
That's good.
So I got to wear shorts, and it works out well. I'll also remind folks, we've been doing a little podcasting experiment that we call Spartan Radio. Over at blog.spartanrace.com, Carrie Adams, who used to be here on the Fitness Tech Podcast, has branched off. Her and I have branched off, and we are now podcasting around Spartan racing. So if you haven't checked that out, we usually do a podcast every week. Our schedules are so crazy. There's never a definite time to do that, but those numbers have been really good. You can check that out, blog. I think it's blog.spartanrace.com. So that, as well as everything else over at theaverageguy.tv, fitness tech and financial tech. Jamie, have a great week. I probably
Thank
won't
you.
Get a chance to talk to you very much during the week, but we'll throw some runs in on the weekend. And
that's right.
And we'll be back next weekend to do another fitness tech podcast.
Perfect. And the exercise for the week is lunges.
Oh.
Yes. Whether stationary, walking, alternating.
And how many of those should I do? I certainly don't do them every day. So
no, every other day.
Okay.
Just do 2 sets of 20.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'll do Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Perfect.
How's that
Thank
sound?
Thank you.
All right.
Sounds great.
Okay.
That's
all right.
The challenge.
Jamie, have a good week, and we'll do it all over again next week. It's the Fitness Tech Podcast. See ya.
That's great. See ya. Thank you.